Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham joining us on the line now. Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Kendrick Perkins. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Perk, what'd you think about the Rockets trading Capella basically for Robert Covington?
Hey, how y'all doing today, fellas? Appreciate y'all having me on. To me, I think, in my opinion.
We'll get Kendrick Perkins back on the line a little bit. That's what you call a tease in the radio industry. For me, I think, hang up, call back in a couple of minutes,
that's
and
right.
Really tell you how you feel.
That's right. You better come out with some fireworks, Perk. Excuse Perk on that one right there. Look, I looked up at the TV a while ago, and he was on the TV set talking about this particular trade and talking about some different moves around the NBA. And I must say, I greatly appreciated the camo jacket, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of camo jacket.
Yeah, he's a big old boy now. But the camo jacket up there talking about Clint Capella. But look, I mean, JB, when you talk about the move, I mean, there's several facets to this move, you know, to this trade. And I don't know if that's the way it is always with you know, franchises that are on the cusp of or are in the conversation of the top, you know, 4 to 6 to 8 teams in the league, if that's always the case. But there's so many different facets to this move and this trade with Clint Capella at this time of the year for the Houston Rockets and what the next couple of months in the season look like. This is an interesting conversation.
Well, Kendrick Perkins joining us again, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. Perfect tease, Kendrick. I think that was the best way to do it. So you were telling us about your thoughts on this Rockets trade.
Well, absolutely. I think, in my opinion, it wasn't a great trade for the Rockets, but it wasn't a horrible trade. To me, it was a good trade. You look at Robert Covington, he's an underrated defender. He's a knockdown three-point shooter. And what the Rockets is basically saying is, and they have to, I mean, it's proof in the pudding that, hey, we're awful defensively even when Clint's on the court. So, you know, let's just do it our way and let the chips fall where they may. And I actually applaud them because when you look at this Rockets team offensively and they go five guards and spread them out around and spread five guards and wing players around the three-point line, and you're able to go ISO basketball and you're trying to contain James Harden, Russell Westbrook one-on-one, first of all, you can't contain them anyway. So once they get past the first line of defense, it's no second line of defense there to even challenge them at the rim because everyone is spaced out. And I think offensively, the Rockets already are number one in pace in the entire league. And I think offensively, they're about to go to another level. Now, when you look at the defensive end of the situation, rebounding might become a problem, but people keep saying, oh, you need a center. But when you think about the NBA, especially in the Western Conference, it's only two guys that you're able to throw the ball down there and they go get a bucket at the center position, and that's Jokic, and that's Anthony Davis. Other than that, it's not like you have to have a post defender down there. Now, the problem is that rebounding is going to become an issue. Hopefully, I got a lot of faith in my guy Tyson Chandler that they maybe could squeeze him in 15 to 20 minutes a game and come in and impact the game and do his role to help the Rockets win. But, you know, I didn't think it was a terrible move. And I also think that they did Clint Capella a favor because they sent him to a beautiful situation with a rising superstar, Trae Young, and I think those two together is going to be something special. I would be very disappointed in Clint if he don't make a few All-Star games with the Atlanta Hawks.
Hey, I hope you're right about Tyson Chandler, because I've been to a few games, and my man is, look, he's kicked back with his toes up, and he ain't even thinking about getting off the bench right now. I'm a big fan of Tyson. I hope they're load managing him for the playoffs, man.
Yeah, me too. But I think he'll be fine, man. I mean, Tyson is he's a champion. He's been around the league for 19 years, and he still has the athleticism. You want to keep him ready for the postseason just in case they need him for 15 to 20 minutes. But to me, I love what the Rockets are doing. They're switching it up. They're saying, hey, we're going to see if you're able to stop this. And guess what's going to happen? If the Rockets get in the first round of playoffs and say game one, they jump out on the team 15-0. You know what the opposing team is going to do? They're going to adjust to the Rockets and say, hold on, we got to go small too. And that's what the Rockets' plans are when they do this. So, hey, I'm excited to see how this is going to act. They got two big tests coming up with the Lakers and the Jazz. So I'm excited and intrigued to see what's going to happen.
Perk, I applaud the Rockets, man. I think it would be very easy for them to sit there and go, man, we got a walk-in double-double, a potential 2020 in Capella, and we're just going to ride this thing out and see what happens. But the sense of urgency to go, you know what, we don't feel like this is going to get us where we want to go in the West, and so we're going to make some moves at the last minute. And two, their ability to go get the guy that they've been flirting with and they've been known to have targeted that they're going to go get. I just applaud them for both of those. Operating with a sense of urgency and getting and hitting the target that they've been aimed at for a while.
Absolutely. And don't mention this, save themselves some money.
Yeah, hey, speaking of that, Perk, I mean, right now they got a little over $5 million to play with. You see them making some moves before, what is it, tomorrow at 2? Before tomorrow at 2 with maybe a center or another piece of the pie?
Well, you know what? I see them testing the buyout market. And when you test the buyout market, you could see them possibly picking up a Jeff Green who's low risk but high reward, you know, because they want to play small. So how about try to go get a Jeff Green that's not going to cost you much? And, you know, you never know. You never know with Daryl Morey. He's not finished. I guarantee you that.
Kendrick Perkins is our guest. Been over a decade in the NBA, champion in the NBA Finals as well. Perk, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of having to defend this small ball Rockets lineup that they could throw at you. You being a center in the league, Rockets throwing basically 5 3-point shooters on the floor at the same time. What kind of bind does that put you, the center, in?
It puts you in a bad bind because your center is either going to be forced to guard Covington or P.J. Tucker, who's going to be spaced out on the three-point line. So now you're taking them away from the basket. It's not like college where a center could sit in the paint. You have defensive 3 seconds. So if guys are not cutting, the center got to get out of the paint, and he got to guard the three-point line. So that puts you as a center. That really takes you out the game, unless you're dominating on the other end and getting offensive rebounds and killing. Defensively, you instantly become a liability unless you're a guy like Anthony Davis. But what the Rockets are saying, hey, I got the best scorer in the league today in James Harden, and I got the most dynamic point guard, most athletic point guard that no one could stop one-on-one from getting to the basket. And we're going to space you out, and good luck to you guys. And to me, that's a hell of a game plan.
What do you think of the adjustment, Perk? That, and I'm no fool. I know that James Harden's been eating double teams hell since he was in junior high. I'm not acting like it's the first time that he's been doubled. But I've watched teams this year. Started with Denver. I believe Denver was the team early in the year when it really. I mean, the announcers were talking about how they were doubling him at before he got over half court, getting the ball out of his hands. How much do you think that this move in particular will help dealing with those double teams and will work against teams that try to take it out of Harden's hands early?
It works to the Rockets' advantage because now they can't do it. Because think about this. You could have a lineup. The Rockets could possibly have a lineup out there that consists of Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Eric Gordon, P.J. Tucker, and Robert Covington. Where are you going to trap from? If you trap off of Russ, they're going to hit Russ, and he's going straight to the paint. I mean, like, you have Eric Gordon, same way, a playmaker. You can even throw Austin Rivers in there, who's becoming a pretty good ISO player. And that's what it is. So it's like, pick your poison. I'm gonna ride with my two former MVPs and James and Russ, and I want to see y'all match up with this. And it's going to be a headache. It's going to be a headache for the NBA. Am I saying they're going to win the title? No, but I'm telling you, it's going to be fun to watch, and it's going to put a lot of other teams on their heels.
Hey, let's switch gears back to the other end of the floor, and you alluded to this earlier, Perk, but what is the two teams that you – because here's the deal, man. When Golden State was the standard and now L.A. And L.A. and Milwaukee and all these teams are the standard right now as we sit today, I just – when you get to a certain level, which the Rockets have gotten, let's compare them to those guys. So when you mentioned earlier that the two bigs that Denver and L.A. are two teams that are still playing with two bigs that are back to the basket, can do some different things in the paint – Rockets are playing those teams. How do they defend and how do they stand up versus those particular lineups and those particular approaches?
Well, what you do is you either front them, you either try to front them, or you wait till they get the ball, you give an aggressive trap, and you get the ball out of their hands. And then one thing about the NBA is that guys get frustrated. So just like James Harden was getting frustrated when guys were trapping him, if you send a trap to Anthony Davis, he going to get frustrated. And sooner or later, they going to go away from the post-ups. If you send a trap at Jokic, sooner or later, he's shown, I'll go away from the post-ups and I'll start shooting threes and outside jumpers. So, to me, the Rockets just got to make sure they have the right game plan and the right defensive schemes that if they happen to match up with those two studs in the playoffs, that they're willing, that they're on pace, on, you know, on they're on one accord to get it done. And another thing, let me tell you something. The Rockets playing at that fast pace, you know what it does to a center? Not Anthony Davis, but you know what it's going to do to a Jokic? Is going to wear him out because they're going to be up and down, and it's hard for a big man to do that. See, people are not looking at that.
Hey, Perk, big boy's going to be splotchy as all get out, man. I went and watched him play the Rockets the other day, man, and my man gets red splotches on his arms about 2 minutes into the first quarter. Covington's going to have him looking like he got a bad case of poison ivy, man.
Man, they're going to be playing so fast and getting up and down, man, it's going to be hard to keep up with them. And y'all already know how, and y'all watch them. Y'all see Russell Westbrook ain't waiting on nobody.
Kendrick Perkins, good stuff as always. We'll catch up with you down the road.
All right, thank you, man. Thank y'all. Y'all have a good one, all right?
All right, you too. That was Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Kendrick Perkins. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. You can hear Perk on Scal and Pals, available on Radio.com and wherever you find your podcast. Great basketball talk with everything you need to hear on the NBA from Perk, Brian Scalabrini, Rick Bucher, and more. Just search Scal, that's S-C-A-L, wherever you find your podcast. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Robert Covington, the newest Houston Rocket on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. The Rockets have two new players, but the marquee of the trade, of course, Robert Covington, an elite defender in the NBA. 2 years ago, NBA All-First Team defender. Somebody who could knock down the three-point shot as well. Well, Robert Covington flew into the Houston airport yesterday. Not sure which one. But our guy, Mark Berman of Fox 26, who should be in the Houston Sports Hall of Fame, by the way, I think has an apartment rented out at the airport. He was right there when Robert Covington arrived. Here's Robert Covington, his first remarks as a member of the Houston Rockets.
It's new opportunities. It's different. You know, back to where I started. So, you know, just a new opportunity for me. You know, new team, new surroundings, new environment. You know, just doing what I'm still going to do, what I'm able to do. You know, still what I'm getting paid to do. So that's my ultimate goal, is just to keep going.
Are you excited about this? What are your emotions?
I mean, it's all over the place right now. So, you know, just kind of get adjusted, life changing, getting drastically in such a short amount of time. So it's a lot of different things to go about.
You can tell it's been a whirlwind for Robert Covington. It's been a long flight. He's probably worn out, got traded. That's got to be something that's pretty awkward. You can tell Covington a little tired whenever Berman got in front of him last night.
Yeah, it's clearly been a long day, a lot of emotions. I mean, you got to think, man, when your life gets turned upside down relative to where you're living, where you're laying your head, where you're parking your rig, you know, I mean, there's a lot of – now, how are you going to get your car here? There's a lot going on outside of the game that these guys – especially if you catch him fresh off of a plane in the airport, probably caught him a little bit off guard. It's a little bit of a shock, but I got to believe he's somewhat familiar with Houston. I got to believe that he greatly appreciates the move to Houston and playing ball here rather than really anywhere else. And so, good to finally hear from the guy. Good to know he's safely on the ground and travels were safe and he's in Houston ready to rock and roll.
Houston, we want to hear from you too. What do you think of Clint Capela being shipped out of town, Robert Covington coming to Houston? 713-572-4610, 713-572-4610. I'll take a pulse of the city coming up. One more from Robert Covington. Berman asked him about his thoughts on playing with James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
It's going to be a great opportunity. It's two superstars that, you know, can change the game, you know, prolifically and, you know, to add value, you know, what I do to the team, you know. It's just something that, like you said, I just got to come in and keep doing what I've been doing.
I think there's one way to look at this, and you might not be on the side of trading Clint Capela. You might be on the side of, yes, this was a good move. To me, it's a good fit, though. I think we can all agree on that, Covington to the mix, what he brings to you on the defensive side of the ball, what he brings to the spacing on the offensive side of the ball, and the ability to knock down the open three-pointer, that's going to complement James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
Well, you know, I think, too, JB, this is a guy that you're not trying to put him in a box. You know, this is a guy again, the Rockets specifically wanted to pursue, if the opportunity presented itself, wanted to pursue Robert Covington, period. That's word on the street. It's been written multiple times. And so this is not a guy they settled for. This is not a guy you bring in here and you put him in a box and ask him to tweak his game. This is a guy you bring in here, you plug him in and say, man, we don't want you to do anything other than be yourself. And what we essentially have recruited you for is because we feel like you're a great fit for this system. And so when it comes down to where is Robert Covington's mindset in being in Houston and playing with superstars and fitting in this system, I would think once he has a chance to gather his thoughts, take a shower, you know, figure out if he brought all the right gear.
Get some sleep.
Make sure he remembered his toothbrush and his doc kit and all that good stuff. I got to believe that that Robert Covington, this guy's in a really good place mentally, and physically and emotionally being here with the Rockets.
TSA might have threw away his toothpaste. TSA, last time I flew, threw away my toothpaste. Little tube of toothpaste. They threw it away. Can you believe that?
I was wondering what the hell that was, you old yuck mouth over there. You came in here with that old yuck mouth. Hell, you still ain't bought a tube yet?
Yeah, 713-572-4610. Bernard, what do you think of this Capela trade?
Yeah, I was just saying that it's not everywhere on the street you can just find a Capela walking around, but at the same time, I mean, outside of transition and putbacks and lobs, you know, what was he really doing? And I'd much rather have them make a move like this than just try to run back the same thing again and again. It's clearly not working. So I'm with it for now. And history has taught me Daryl Morey always has something extra up his sleeve. So I'm cool.
Bernard likes as we take a pulse of Houston, 713-572-46. And he brings up an interesting point. You brought this up, too. There's still some cap flexibility. There's still some money there. We've seen rumors out there of the Rockets perhaps being interested in Tristan Thompson. We had a texter tell us earlier, perhaps Andre Drummond is somebody that the Rockets look at. I think that'd be a great gift because Drummond's actually a better rebounder than Capela. Alex Lynn, a name mentioned. So Daryl Morey might not be done. He might be he might bring in a center by the time we're talking tomorrow, the deadline in less than 24 hours.
Well, I just love the fact, you know, when we heard from Perk earlier, to me, man, there's a couple of games that you got to be concerned about a true center being in the game and a team literally dialing in and attacking you with that center. And we talk about that today like Shaq type stuff's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still not back to the basket, back you down, turn around and hang on the rim and put them in your face kind of deal.
No, that's gone.
It's still a, a finesse style of game by a 7-footer or bigger, right? I mean, it's still not something that you look at and you go, man, I just don't know how a 6'7", 6'8 guy is going to defend this 7-footer. I was in the Toyota Center watching last time Jokic was in town.
Yeah.
That don't scare 6'9 against him, 6'8 against – that don't scare me. It's like his game is sloppy. It's lazy. Now he's good. He can fill it up when he gets hot.
Yeah.
But he ain't just gonna blow your mind with energy and effort and getting off the ground and you know what I mean? It's like it's not something that concerns you. Now AD on the other hand, and them 3 7-footers, I guess that LA can throw at you, you might have your hands full with that joke with that Joker right there. But the rest of them, I'm just not overly concerned with.
And you're probably going to have concerns with Anthony Davis, even if, I mean, Clint Capella's around. He's not the Anthony Davis problem solver.
That's the interesting part of this is all the defensive-minded guys out there that go, uh-oh, you lost a 7-footer. What are you going to do on the defensive end of the floor?
Yeah.
Man, again, I don't want to have this conversation in a negative aspect to Clint Capella, right?
It's a system. It's a fit.
But it's not. To sit here and have this conversation like Clint Capella is guarding the paint in a dominant way is not accurate.
He wanted Hakeem Olajuwon in there?
No, hell no. It's not accurate. He was a good player around the rim. He was really good in transition, and he kept guards and smaller players from coming in there just openly and getting in and around the rim. But he wasn't in there dominating the paint. He was getting pushed around by bigger guys, and sometimes guys that aren't bigger than him. And so – To the rim protector guys, I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you, but let's not act like the Rockets were going somewhere because Clint Capella was guarding the rim for him.
Let's go to Fletcher. Fletcher, what are you thinking?
Well, I think I'm kind of with you guys. I'm kind of liking it. I think they need to mix it up. I don't hate on Clint Capella. I think he did a lot for the team, but I think we've seen what the team is with him. And my only thing is the guards and the team, the small team, small ball team has got to be able to play defense in not a sense of having a rim protector, of having people do what Russell Westbrook does to other people, and that's get to the basket, because they do need, if there is rim protection against the guards, like Capella offered, then that does give the other team a moment of pause. But when there's a lot of guys that can attack the basket out there. And then the other thing is as far as the shooting goes, you know, that one of the things that's going to have to happen is these guys got to figure out that they got to have the three-point shooting. It's got to be consistent. Even if you're not the guy, the number one or two guy with the ball, we can't have Eric Gordon going 0-for-12 and Carr, you know, some of the other guards struggling. They've got to be on point and on key when they have their opportunities, and that's all I got to say.
Appreciate the call, Fletcher. Sounds like Houston's aboard. I'm torn. I'm going to tell you my concerns about this trade next. Clinton, a former NBA player, they'll try to talk me down. Also, Kansas City Chiefs holding their parade today. We got to hear from our guy, Travis Kelce. We do that next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham, the Astros. The Rockets traded Clint Capella, getting Robert Covington back, also getting
spit
Bell
it out
from
over
Golden
there,
State.
JB. Damn it, man. Spit
coffee,
it out. Come on, Chief.
Coffee's getting to me.
Come on, baby. Come on. It's 4:30. We got to rock and roll. Let's do this thing.
It's only my first cup. I need the second cut. But
get that man another cup, damn it. Come on. We'll be here in a minute, baby.
Yeah. I have my concerns over this trade. The Rockets are selling their soul to the system, which is intriguing. That does intrigue me. The small ball lineup, it looks like they're committed to that. They're committed to switching on the defensive side. But my concerns are the fact that you're trading away a top five rebounder. That's really my concern more than the shot blocking. And you look at the games that Clint Capella has missed. Use last night as an example. The Houston Rockets got dominated on the boards, 53-41 against a bad Charlotte team. Charlotte had over 20 second chance points in the first three quarters of the game. Rockets stopped them a little bit there in the fourth quarter. But the fact that you're allowing these teams the extra possessions, you're giving them second chances at the hoop to score offensively, is a big concern of mine, and Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal shares that concern as well.
It's cute. It's analytics. It's what they do. However, the top teams have big, lengthy people.
Lakers.
Let's just say you make it out and you make it to the finals. You're going to play a guy that has a lot of length. You're going to play another guy that's 7 foot. He shoots threes, but he can rebound. You got to have rebounds. You got to have guys that can protect the basket. Because remember, Houston's not known for defense. Every time we talk about Houston, we say two things, analytics and shooting threes. So, you know, if you don't have that length, I don't see this working.
Clint, there's big lengthy people in the NBA, and the Rockets traded their big lengthy person.
Yeah, I know. I agree with the fact that the Rockets traded their big lengthy person. And I agree that the bigger teams and the better teams, higher ranked teams in the West, they have big lengthy individuals. There you go, Rack. You are not a big lengthy individual, but thank you for that co-sign.
He's one of the two.
but here's the deal: is those same problems that the people that Shaq mentioned would have, the same problems that they posed to the Rockets, they were going to pose to the Rockets whether Clint Capela was part of this team or not. The guys that Shaq was referring to, Clint Capela wasn't stopping them. Clint Capela wasn't slowing them down. In fact, I'm willing to bet you that they would prefer to face Clint Capela than a guy that's 3 inches shorter than him, but is a little bit more active in other ways other than rebounding, okay? Poses a little bit more of a threat on the offensive end of the floor. And so while I understand that you're not wrong when you talk about losing length and when you talk about the guys that you're going to come up against having more size. But to me, that problem existed with Clint Capela. And number two, if you're going to counter that problem, be better at your counterpunch, right? So that's where I stand with this thing is you weren't going to be bigger and stronger and have a more inside presence with the lineup you had. So why not bolster your perimeter game? Why not bolster your analytical game? Why not bolster the ability to play faster, right? And that's what the Rockets went out and did. And look, like Kendrick Perkins said, I don't know that that's going to equal a championship. But I feel like it equals the Rockets doing what they want to do better than they were able to do yesterday. And with that said, the question is, can it counter the size that or the absence of size that the Rockets have? Can all the strengths that come with Robert Covington, can they counter the size that some of the better teams in the West can throw at you, the guys that Shaq's worried about, the guys that you're concerned about? Does the ability to play faster and be more active with the hands on defense and shoot the three better and clear the lane better, do those things counter that size well enough to get you in the conversation?
And that's a counter argument to my point that, you know, you're losing the rebounding battle every single night. Minus 12 yesterday, it was minus 20 against New Orleans. But the point that, you know, Mike D'Antoni would tell you, that Daryl Morey would tell you, that Adam Spolane, who covers the Rockets for SportsRadio610.com, would tell you, they're losing possessions in the rebounding category, but they're gaining possession by taking care of the ball and turning the other team over. And that was true last night. The Rockets only turned it over 4 times last night. When was the last time we could say that about the Houston Rockets? 4 turnovers in one game. Charlotte had 17 turnovers. So right there, that's the wash. You might be losing in the rebounding, but you're winning in the turnover margin. One of the numbers I'm going to look forward to all season long and look at every single game are how many shots are both teams taking. Because if you're taking more shots than the opponent, who cares what the rebounding margin is, right? If you're getting up more shots, you got a better chance to score. And turnovers play a big part into that. So if the Rockets are going to have the turnover margin success that they had last night against Charlotte, bad team, but if they had that going forward, I'm willing to ignore the rebounding a bit.
You know, I would challenge, and I don't know the answer to this. I'm not trying to set you up, but I would challenge you to go back and look at, like, the games versus the better opponents last year, right? Maybe the playoff games, and see what do those numbers from Clint Capela look like.
Well, against Golden State, they were awful,
right?
I mean, they were terrible. I can tell you, I can tell you that without the numbers right now.
Well, so I guess I did kind of set you up because I don't know what the numbers were, but I remember Looney pushing him around on both ends of the floor on the rebounding on the boards and.
Golden State did to Capela what the Houston Rockets are going to be trying to do to centers around the NBA now.
Yeah, you know, but you know what? The question about that is, I'm not worried about the Rockets on the defensive end of the floor around the bucket the way that some people are with this rim protector approach to losing Capella. But I am concerned that the teams that appear to be built like the Rockets are built, the Golden State Warriors of their dynasty run, I think it's very similar to the way that the LA Clippers want to play ball right now on the offensive end of the floor and from a size perspective and an ability to score perspective. But when you look at it, both of those teams were pretty damn good on the defensive end of the floor.
Some would say elite. I mean, if you're Golden State was top five every year that they were winning the championship. The year they won 73 games, set the NBA record, they were the best defense in the NBA.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but the clip, I don't know where they rank. I didn't look at the rankings in defense today before we came on the show. but I'll guarantee you when it comes down to locking a team up in the playoffs, when it matters the most and all their stars are on the table or on the floor, they're going to be able to lock guys up. Yep. And so playing defense in general, it's not about the rim. It's not about protecting the rim. It's about the want to. You know what I mean? The want to of Harden and Gordon and those guys, the guys that spend a lot of time on the floor, the want to play defense is more, I think, the question than having somebody that can protect the rim. P.J. Tucker's going to play defense.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about Covington to know if he takes minutes and series and possessions off here and there on the defensive end of the floor. I don't know. Westbrook, he's going to play. I don't know how sound it is, but he's going to give you some juice. But when you talk about Harden, it's like, you know, Harden's the one that is on the floor a lot, and he's the one that is at the top of the key defending the ball-dominant player a lot. And if that's the case, you know, the question is can he get up there and wreak havoc in a superstar's face? That's my concern on the defensive end of the ball, not the rim protection.
Yeah, the effort and the want-to. I would categorize rebounding in that same mold as defense, right? That's kind of want-to. And to be honest, look, the Rockets have good rebounding players. Russell Westbrook for a point guard is a very good rebounder. James Harden for being in the backcourt, very good rebounder. Covington for his size is a good rebounder. P.J. Tucker, same thing. So the Rockets are going to lose rebounding by trading Capella, top five rebounder in the NBA, but they have some pieces there that they can make it work. But like you said, they're going to be undersized. It's going to take a little bit of hustle. It's going to take a little bit of want-to for the Houston Rockets. We heard Shaq call the whole selling the soul of the Rockets to the system. He called it cute. Shaq called it cute. Well, Mo Taylor, who's been in the league for a decade in the NBA, former NBAer, it's been 4 years in Houston, he thinks that this can work for the Houston Rockets.
And I still think you need big man presence to win. Threes aren't going to go down all the time. You got to think, the best teams in the league are shooting like what, 38-39% from the three? That means they're only making a third of their shots. So in basketball, to me, I think you need that presence. So with that said, I think they're going to have problems. It depends on the matchup. I think they're a bad matchup for Denver. They'll beat Denver. They're a bad matchup for Dallas. They'll beat Dallas. But when you run into those bigger, when you run into the LAs that have huge wing defenders and big fellas they can bring off the bench, when you run into the Lakers that have the 3-7 footers that they can play along with big perimeter players, I think that's gonna kind of be a roadblock for the Rockets, in my opinion.
I think what Mo Taylor was alluding to there is that this trade gets them better for certain teams in the NBA, but they still might be looking to make a move before tomorrow's deadline. Maybe not to be in the starting lineup, but somebody that can be somebody with size, that can be big and lengthy, like Shaq said, and can play defensively against the few teams in the NBA that you need to match up with their size.
Well, yeah, you hope they either find somebody, or you hope Tyson Chandler down the road is an option if they have a problem against a big guy. Like, I would have no problem with Tyson Chandler being on Jokic. Yeah. I'd have no problem whatsoever.
I mean, you're talking about, right? 10, 15
now,
minutes a game.
AD is a whole different deal, which he's going to be. He's a matchup nightmare for anybody out there. But would I be convinced that Tyson Chandler could go in there and hold his own versus Jokic? Yeah, absolutely. And so there's some options there. There's some possibilities there. But I'll give Big Mo the same pushback that I gave you and that I gave Shaq. Is, I mean, if the Rockets get to a point where the lack of 7-footer around the rim is a problem versus the LA Lakers in a game that matters, then damn it, they're in a pretty good spot.
Right.
You know what I mean? You it's kind of like the Astros with Betts and Price going to the Dodgers. If the Astros get into a position where that's a problem and that affects them, then they've made it to the World Series and it's a pretty damn good run, pretty good season. So I think if the Rockets end up regretting this move because of what big men can do, particularly on the offensive end of the floor versus this Rockets defense, then I think the Rockets look at it and go, well, man, we had a pretty good season.
Yep. Clinton, JB on Houston Sports Leaders, Sports Radio 610. The Houston Texans fans are looking forward to the offseason. They're hoping that they make some moves, kind of like the Houston Rockets did. Meanwhile, another NFL team, they're celebrating their Super Bowl championship today. The Kansas City Chiefs holding their parade. I saw this on Twitter. Kansas City Police tweeted this out. They had some stats from the parade. Total arrests from the parade rally area today. 5 arrests at this parade. Sounds like it was a good time. 2 of them from police pursuit en route. That sounds like the car chase we were talking about earlier. 1 of the arrests happened on a cop with on horseback. 1 of them was at Union Station. And the final one was one belligerent guy who fell out of a tree celebrating this Chiefs championship.
I saw him. I saw the video of the guy in the tree. His rear end was completely exposed. It was like he was sagging with no drawers on.
Poor guy fell out of the tree.
He was sagging his pants with no drawers on and got up there with a hoodie. And when he reached up to hold himself, his old hoodie came up and showed nothing but crack.
Yeah.
I didn't see him fall out of the tree, though.
I didn't either.
You two are the only two guys I know that would watch a video of a man with his ass out in a tree long enough to see him fall.
Well, you just described the whole thing. So
no, I did not know he
sounds
fell.
Like you know it's shot for shot, Clint.
I didn't know he fell.
I think you saw a freckle on the left cheek.
No, I didn't know he fell.
I think he could pick his butt out of a police lineup.
Hey, guys, relax a little bit. I didn't know he fell.
I don't know it was that guy. It just says one belligerent guy fell out of a tree.
I'm going to guess if there's a report of a guy falling out of the tree, it's going to be the one I saw with his ass out when he was in the tree.
I hope there aren't multiple guys doing that.
It's a safe bet. It is their first Super Bowl in 50 years,
Odds are it was that same old boy right there. Well, but it was pretty cold out, too. I don't know why somebody would be sagging with no drawers on when it's that cold out.
I'm not sure either. Anyways, Travis Kelce, they gave him an open mic at the parade. And Travis Kelce's been known to talk a little bit. Travis Kelce was on the stage addressing the Chiefs fans that came out to the parade. He was wearing a WWE championship belt. Here's what Travis Kelce had to say at the parade.
21 years. How about that? I'm going to walk this wall. How about 21 years? Y'all know what that means? Everybody here is thinking, oh, that's when I can, you know what I mean, legally get a drink. Yeah. No, 21 years. That's how long it's just been turning for my guy Andy Reid. It's just been turning and turning and turning. And what we do? What we do? We unleash a can of whoop ass for everybody. 24-0. I ain't trying to hear it. Down 10. I ain't trying to hear it. Fourth quarter, 6 and whatever left on the clock. Down 10. We got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, baby. How about Sammy Watkins? Woo! How about Damian Williams? Woo! How about my dog, 5'5", and he ain't on sides? What's good?
Travis Kelce having a pretty good time. He ain't trying to hear about that 24-0.
Hey, my dog, 5'5", and he ain't off sides. That may be the best. Oh, man, I tell you what, y'all. Hey, look here. Landry Locker is going to have so much fun with that right there. He is going to have so much fun with that right there tomorrow.
Yeah, how do you feel about the Travis Kelce podium speech if you're a Texan fan? 713-572-4610.
JB, if you don't love that right there, then something's wrong with your head. If you can't greatly appreciate the just genuine, sincere, inebriated, excited, just free speaking Travis Kelce, then something's wrong with you, man. That is good stuff. Great find, fellas.
Somebody on the text line said it sounded like Sterner.
That's fine too. That is good. That is very, very good stuff.
24-0. I ain't trying to hear it.
Oh, it's salt in the wounds a little bit there from Travis Kelce. B Mac, what were you saying before the show that Pat Mahomes was pouring beer down the top of
the
bus?
Yeah, he was on the top of the double decker buses that were taking him on the parade route. And he was actually standing on the top and pouring beer from the top of the double-decker parade bus, not just a regular bus, down to where Kelce's standing in the street, pouring the beer into his mouth.
So Pat Mahomes got the accuracy from the top of the double decker bus too.
They got a great connection.
He was firm in the pocket.
He was in platform.
He was on target. He was on platform.
Elbow was up. Wrist was flicked. I also saw a video last night, I guess, or maybe it was 2 days ago, but sometime after the Super Bowl, obviously, where Travis Kelce was pouring a beer down the Super Bowl trophy and into his mouth. He was using it as a funnel. So I wonder how many cold beers Kelce has drank since the Super Bowl's over.
I think a ton of Blue Mountains, I think.
Blue Mountain, you think so?
Oh, yeah. Travis Kelce strikes me as a Blue Mountain kind of guy, don't you?
I would imagine, based off of...
He seems like a PBR guy.
Nah. He's a Hennessy guy. He's a Hen guy. Come on, man. Y'all kidding me? PBR. You kidding me? I guess it probably depends on
PBR.
It probably depends on where he's at. I mean, if he's, I don't know. He's a Hennessy guy. I would bet a large amount of money that he's a Hennessy guy.
The parades are pretty cool. The Hennessy is an interesting take. I'm not sure I'm going to go with the Henny. I think I'm going to go with the Blue Mountains. It was cold, you know. He probably just go outside with the. Listen, the Coors Light. Well, the Blue Mountains would get cold because that's how cold it was in Kansas City, Missouri, not Kansas.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say since the Super Bowl, he probably didn't give a rip what the logo on the side of the can was. I don't know if he could see the logo on the side by a certain point. From the sounds of it, it sounds like he was he really didn't give a rip. If it was cold and wet, he was drinking it.
Who would be the one Texan that you would want to hear just go nuts like that on an open mic if they were to win the Super Bowl? Who would be the one that would have the most personality?
Wow.
I'd want to see it from Watt.
I don't think so. I don't think you
that's
get it
who
from
I'd
Watt.
Want to see it from. I don't know who would do it, but that's who I'd want to see it from.
Like Hopkins and Watson are too laid back. Like I don't see them.
That's why
that.
I want to see it though. I want to see that other side.
Yeah, I don't think we'd see it from Watt. Maybe Justin Reed?
Nah, Justin's too straight-lined. I tell you, I think if Tunsil wasn't so laid back.
Yes, he's too laid back.
But the alcohol and the acceptance of being a little bit inebriated in that moment may bring the big fella out of his shell.
It could. Carlos Hyde.
I think McKinney might let loose.
McKinney has that in him, but he knows when not to be like that, I think. Carlos Hyde could be a good one. Carlos Hyde, I mean, he already talks a little bit. You put a few pops in him. I could see him having something like, not to the extent of Travis Kelce.
Whitney could probably get loose a little bit.
Yeah, he likes to have a good time. It'd be interesting.
God, the fact that we can't pinpoint one
Billy
or two
o?
That
How
we
about
know.
Billy O?
Nah, ain't no letting down. Hey, look here, Bill O'Brien ain't letting that guard down, Chief. I don't know that I've ever been
Super Bowl
around,
champions, Brian.
I don't know that I've ever been around a coach or a player that is more guarded than Bill O'Brien. Maybe Bill Parcells. I mean, it's crazy, man. Extremely guarded. I don't know that I've ever been around. But the fact that we can't think of a player that zero doubt about it would let loose. I bet Deshaun would let loose in the right scenario. But he's so chill. He's such a brand though that. Like, I don't know that doing that would be a good idea for him.
Yeah, that kind of fits Kelce. Yeah. That's his M.O. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham coming up next, 5 o'clock. Fire the hottest stories in the city of Houston. The Houston Rockets have made a trade. Are they done? How do we feel about this trade? That's next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.